Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That beat is mean for the rest of eternity. That beat is mean. Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What else was mean? Paul George's game winner last night, double overtime. Joining me now to discuss that and everything else going on in the NBA, Sporting News NBA writer Sean Devaney. And Sean, I want to start with Paul George because I feel like sometimes, just as a way of rewarding a good season, people say, is this person an MVP candidate? When really, they've got no chance at the MVP. And I felt that about Paul George most of this season, where I thought the upshot was, for him, the reward would be first-team All-NBA, considering his position and the fact that LeBron missed so many games, he would get there before LeBron, and being maybe voted over Kevin Durant, which would be a huge accomplishment. But as more and more of the season has gone on and he keeps playing better and better and the Thunder keep climbing in the standings, I'm starting to think that the MVP has become a three-man race between Harden, Giannis, and Paul George.
Yeah, he's definitely put himself in there, and I think when you consider what he does defensively as well, Giannis is a good defender and does a lot for them defensively. We know Harden has gotten a little better defensively, but that's never going to be his strength. But Paul George, the numbers that he puts up, he also does it usually guarding the best player on the other team. So you have to take that into consideration, and you have to put him at least on par with the other two guys. I don't think he's going to win it. I really don't. I think in the end, probably be Giannis, given where they are in the standings. But certainly Paul George has put himself, I think, for sure in the top three, and that'll get him on the All-NBA first team as well. So, he's been remarkable. And like I say, I think as you consider this, you have to consider both ends of the floor, and that's where he kind of evens up with the other two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said before, the accomplishment for me is now that he's in the conversation, that's a bit of a tremendous one in and of itself, because it did seem like a Giannis Harden race for much of the season. One of the other games last night, before I get to the big Lakers story that's, of course, looming post All-Star break, I was watching San Antonio and Toronto last night. Very entertaining game. Usually the buyout market is not one that actually has a huge impact. We're more talking about it more than the impact players are going to have. But I think Jeremy Lin may be the exception to that, because he looks like he's going to fit really well in Toronto and get to play for a contending team. Do you agree with that, that he could be a bigger acquisition than it seems on the surface?
Yeah, they had explored possibly trading for him before the deadline. So he was somebody that they had targeted, and once they got the sense that he was going to get past the trade deadline without a deal being made, then he was definitely a big time target for them. One of the things that they've had, one of the issues they've had, is Kyle Lowry hasn't been 100% this year. I mean, you can see it in the numbers, you can see it in the way he plays. He's very important to what they do, but he's just not producing, and that's a real concern. They need to have a playmaker behind him, and Fred VanVleet's their backup point guard, but he's not a playmaker. He's not a guy who creates for other people. That's something Jeremy Lin can do. So that's going to be a pretty big acquisition for them. The fact that nobody stepped up to make a trade for him was pretty surprising. There were a lot of teams that were interested, and I think as Toronto goes forward, there's going to be a lot of teams that regret not coughing up a late first round of pick or something to get Jeremy Lin, because he's obviously a guy who can very much contribute off the bench, very comfortable in that role, played that role well in Charlotte and other places, that's something I think Toronto's really going to benefit from.
Robin Lundberg talking to Sean Devaney, a Sporting News NBA writer here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, the big story, I think, post All-Star break is whether the Lakers get into the playoffs. And LeBron had a comment about liking to be uncomfortable. And I sort of get that because we create this hysteria around him every year. And usually I think it's just kind of foolish and it happens on an annual basis. And, you know, there was a lot of turmoil around the Cavs last year. They wind up in the finals. And every single year, this guy is competing for the championship. It felt like the turmoil was a little bit more real this year, simply because I think most notably due to his groin injury, people aren't talking about the fact that he missed all that time enough in my mind. And then, of course, all the fallout from the non-Anthony Davis trade. Yet though, he right away comes back from the 19-point deficit. They beat Houston and makes me feel like all the doubts are going to wind up looking silly in the long run again. Where are you at on where the Lakers are going to eventually wind up?
Well, you know, I do think that the cause for alarm is a little more real than what we've seen in the past. You know, and really, you're right, that this happened 3 years in a row with the Cavaliers, going back to, you know, when they fired David Blatt. You know, that was, three, 4 years ago. So, you know, they fired their coach midseason, even though he'd led them to the finals the year before. So it had become sort of an annual tradition. The difference was a couple things. One, it usually happened earlier. You know, it was usually beginning of January, mm-hmm. and now we're talking late February, and they're trying to pull some stuff together and get their chemistry right. And you know, a lot of guys who felt like they were left hung out to dry. A lot of the young guys involved in those Anthony Davis talks, is uncertainty around Luke Walton. So you know, to have that in late February is different than early January for sure. So I think that's one issue. The other issue is you're in the West now, you know, and you know, it's hard to bounce back in the Western Conference. It's much easier to do that in the East, especially the way the East was before this year. You know, it would be tougher this year, obviously, but in previous years, you know, you kind of had a sense that no matter what kind of nonsense was going on in Cleveland, that the Cavaliers would be there in the end. And it's just too hard to do that in the West when you've got the Warriors, you've got the Thunder, you know, you've got Portland's playing great, and you know, you've got a lot of teams that are productive. If you wind up with the, you know, 6-7 seed, and you're heading into the playoffs and you're going up against, you know, whether it's Denver or Oklahoma City or Portland, you know, you might not make it out of that first round. So, yeah, it's a much different animal, I think, in the West, trying to overcome the things that LeBron is trying to overcome, than it's been in the East for the last few years.
That's fair for sure. Do you think they make the playoffs, though?
I do. You know, I think that that you see enough slippage from some of the other teams. Obviously, the Clippers, I think, have played great. I think they played over their heads even after the Tobias Harris trade. But I just think over the stretch run, it's going to be too tough for them. So I think that the Clippers are our team the Lakers could pull ahead of. And San Antonio, I think, is also overachieved as well. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had a tough time on their rodeo road trip. You know, with the young guys that they have, it's not a group that's used to that trip, that February trip that they take, that pretty much takes them away from San Antonio for an entire month. They haven't handled that well. So they're slipping a little bit. So it's possible that they could not only make the playoffs, but get up to number 7, maybe even number 6. I think that might be a stretch, though.
Well, if they get to 7 or 6, I'm taking them in that first-round series. Sean, I appreciate the time this morning, man. Thank you.
All right, Robin. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.